Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go here. The district attorney, did they paint themselves into a corner right from the start by going for the first degree murder? I mean, should this have been something lesser to begin with? Or would that, you know, sometimes you go in with a harder charge, assuming that that jury's going to end up with a lower one. So you do... You know, you go in harder. You got three children are dead. I mean, is it politically possible for an elected prosecutor to offer a plea deal without facing some sort of massive backlash, even if proving cold-blooded premeditation was always a huge gamble? But notice the word political gets mixed into there. So the motivations of how you're prosecuting a case don't necessarily rest on, you know, the laurels of the case or what's right or wrong if you're adding the word political into the conversation.
Yeah, political always seems to come in at some point, because every time we look at trying to understand why certain people are making certain decisions when it comes to prosecuting what cases they're going to prosecute, there's usually some sort of election coming up. I mean, we just dealt with that out in Vegas with what's-his-face's case, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, so... And here's why I don't, again, my conjecture on this one, I don't think politics played a huge part of this. You know, so it goes to the original question, you know, why go for first degree murder when you have a lot of other options on this? And here's what I think. And this is based off of what we're seeing. And if you look and if you go online and you pull up the stats on how people are standing on this case, if you're in the camp, like a lot of people are, 100% guilty, premeditated, no such thing as her breaking a psychotic, you know, having a psychotic break, because, you know, you look at it's not exactly Andrea Yates like, and so she's wrong, she's guilty, and she should be behind bars. I believe this is exactly, and oh, anyway, the people that think that by and large are law enforcement and prosecutors. That is, and there's, I know there's a lot of other people in there, but people that lean hard towards law enforcement, justice, and prosecution side oriented people, they're typically on that side. And so if you live inside an echo chamber of that, like the prosecution does here, they're talking to law enforcement, they're talking to other people, they're looking past cases that happen because this case is so rare. They're saying to themselves, of course we're going to go for first degree murder. Why wouldn't we? She's guilty. When you look at their courtroom demeanor, what was really telling to me for the two prosecutors in the room was when the entire courtroom is falling apart in emotion, because we had Bob Mott on the inside. It wasn't just Lindsay Clancy collapsing on herself, bawling, shaking, but everyone else dealing with that same high emotions, looking at the pictures of the murdered children and everything. They listened to the 911 call. The only two people not to be losing their shit were the two prosecutors. And so how can that happen? How can they be like that? Well, they think she's performative. When you think someone's performing and they don't really feel that emotion and you just see them as a vile human being, their emotions don't impact you whatsoever, typically. And so, again, pure conjecture. I don't know them. I don't live inside their heads. But my conjecture on this is the reason they went for first-degree murder is they completely 100% believe in an entire echo chamber that this is exactly the only thing that fits in their mind, and anything less would be wrong.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's I think how he had such vitriol through this whole case from the beginning is because there really wasn't, I don't know, a lot of minds being changed or ability to hear the evidence in this case and have an opinion swayed. I don't think a lot of people went into this middle of the road. I could be wrong. I'm sure there's some, but I don't know that a lot of people were middle of the road on this to begin with and being willing to be swayed. I feel like a lot of people went in with their direction they were going, and then the echo chamber started on any side, and it just fortified that even harder, and each side gets louder at each other. At the end of the day, also both sides not hearing each other. Because I think it's funny, in some ways, when you get to talking with people on this, if you have a different opinion, everybody agrees. Yes, it's horrible. The children are dead.
100%.
But I think sometimes you almost get so upset at a person who has a different opinion about the logistics of this case, which is really what we're talking about. And if it's different, we start assigning their own intent to this, or their own beliefs of they don't care about the children. I think everybody cares about the damn kids.
And everyone wants her behind bars. It's in general population or getting psychiatric treatment. I mean, seriously, no one wants her out in public.
Nobody wants her anything. But at the end of the day, people don't want this to happen again. People don't want this to keep happening again. But and that's what gets me on it is there really is only one path for that, and that's understanding this and looking at the ways that she was failed, and hopefully putting enough speed bumps in place to prevent the next one. There will always be failures. There will always be people that will fall through the system. That will happen. But if we can recognize that, hey, if some of these things have been done better, we probably wouldn't be here. We will catch several others of them in the process. But if we just go and say, well, every time they come by, just burn them at the stake, that's not helping anything. That's not justice. That's just, you know, I don't know. That's ignorance, in my opinion.
And there's so many parts of that. Just the people just don't understand that. I think at the end of the day, we have so much more in common on this case than people realize. So even the hardliners have said, you know, lock her up and throw away the key. Okay, but what would it cost you to just say, well, get her treatment along the way too? So we can learn, you know, part of that treatment is have the researchers go in there and also talk to her so we can actually have all the red flags that are going off along the system, all the things that failed her in the system, all the medications that weren't working for her, and whether you believe she's taking them or not, I don't even care. Whatever was going on didn't work. Why not incarcerate her like you want to incarcerate her, and then just instead of throwing away the key and being ignorant, why don't we learn from it and move forward so it doesn't happen again? So the whole point of the criminal justice system is to justice. And what's part of justice? Not allowing that to happen again. I actually researched justice too on this one because everyone says, I want justice for the children. Well, what is justice for the children? What's justice to the family? The family wants her incarcerated, getting medical treatment. So everyone that is standing for lock her up in general population, throw away the key the rest of your life. So you're standing against the family's wishes, which are the only survivors and the remaining victims. So you're standing opposed to the victims in this. That's interesting. And it costs you as a human being nothing to allow her to get treatment and be researched so it doesn't happen again. That, to me, is justice, is learning to not let this happen again. I don't understand what the argument is about learning.
Because it means accepting that maybe your deeply held belief systems or opinions in the past might be wrong.
But I'm not even
that's
saying
why. That's so funny. People don't like that.
But I'm not even saying you're wrong. Okay, you're right. You want her locked away. I hate bringing up Jen so much, but, you know, a lot of times on a lot of cases, we wind up in exactly the same outcome of what we think should happen on a case. It's the path we got there, which is different. But again, if at the end of the day, the goal and objectives is attained, good. I mean, I do this all the time. So what my team did all the time was we operated on what I call the code of trust. And the first step in the code of trust is what's your goal, objective, and priority? And then the next step under that is who do we need on our side to achieve that? And then we have all these steps to bring on these people. But that number one thing is what's your goal and objective and priority? Because as we diverge on the world of the what's and how's and how we're going to make that happen and the path forward, that's where we get like this. And that's exactly where we are today. I mean, seriously, everyone do your own thought experiment right now. Everyone on both sides of this case, at the end of the day, we're so closer aligned than the what's and how's. Everyone's arguing was like, she should be criminally responsible. She shouldn't be criminally responsible. She didn't take her medications. She did take her medications. She was taking them for this. I mean, all these things in here, except for the Patrick Nutter stuff, you know, all these things are arguing the what's and how's. But at the end of the day, I don't know anyone that says we want her released. We want her released and allow it to happen again to other babies. No one wants her to go out again and have more babies and kill them. And the probability of that went through the probability of that. You know, the earlier she'd be released, she'd probably going through menopause. The fact that she might not even be able to have kids because of her injuries is also pretty high. So again, just go to the end of the day. Everyone is pretty much looking for really, really closely aligned the same thing. Why is everyone arguing so much? That's what really blows my mind.
There's a spider's off in so many different directions. If you strip away the lawyers and the courtroom theatrics, just for a second, Lindsay Clancy is paralyzed from the waist down in a wheelchair, living every day with the realization of what she did. I mean, what does society actually gain by putting her in a state penitentiary versus a locked psychiatric facility? I mean, is it about public safety? Is it just pure payback? It's the insatiable need for revenge, and we got you. I mean, I think people really need to take a step back and look at where the rage comes from in this case. If you're really feeling it hard, I think you got to ask why.
And she's offering herself up as a science experiment. Literally, yeah. She says, I want to be your science experiment. Figure this out. She wants to be an advocate for people not having, and she doesn't want to be out forming her own not-for-profit, you know, living in society. Because again, remember, she's still on S-Watch 24/7, one-on-one, always being observed, because if given the chance, she'll off herself. She will self-delete in a heartbeat. And so if you're going to make her stick around, she's saying, I might as well, again, I'm not trying to put words in her mouth, but from what we've seen, from what we've heard, the leakage is that she wants to make a difference. So not allow this happen again if she's going to remain on this planet.
Let's look at this here in the very, I mean, it's highly unlikely that anything other than a mistrial is going to be the outcome here at this point.
Right.
Let's talk about the unlikeliness that we're going to see her at another trial. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I have my doubts. They're going to have to keep that S-watch pretty tight.
I think that's why Reddington invoked this. Matter of fact, when you look at the language of what he invoked, and he invoked the Karen Reed trial, saying that she was able to physically make the retrial, and why he asked for a stay. Again, not putting words in his mouth because it came in last minute before going on the air. But when I look at this and pulled it up, it looks like he's afraid that she's not going to make it to retrial because of all the issues, because of her wanting to off herself.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a very legitimate concern, because because I don't even restate it.
It is a legitimate concern. I brought it up the other day with Siobhan. I don't know that it shouldn't not be an option for human beings that find themselves in an absolute horrendous position in life. I would certainly think this would qualify if you come out of a psychosis like this, realize the horrendous things that you did and the way the world has positioned itself against you. I don't know. I would think that would qualify to be a humane way of exiting should you choose to go.
My guess is that because she's on 24/7 S watch for the last 3+ years.
Yeah, so we can do a circus, basically.
Yeah, I would say the only other reason that she is still here is because Reddington and her family are begging her to stay.
Yeah,
that's literally it. I mean, what other reason is there? She doesn't want to be here.
I don't know. I really think it's going to be an interesting task.
Take the eyes off her and give her the opportunity. I don't think she'll be here.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think that's the reality of a lot of this. A
lot of angry people online.
I know. I'm trying to look at some of them and read some of them as we wait to see if they're going to get back here in the courtroom. We're more than an hour now into this.
Yeah, E. Mullins, and that's what it is. People mistake that word vengeance and justice. Vengeance is a very very unhealthy thing for people to go after. And literally, what are you avenging? I mean, just ask yourself these questions. Why are you as an individual, if you're one of these people worked up, I mean, even after myself, you know, asking myself these things, you know, as I'm watching this play out and looking at the hung jury, wanting this to be finalized on what I think is a fair and just prosecution and defense of this thing. And way I keep myself from getting wrapped up in that is saying, well, the system is working the way the system's designed. Can it be better? Yes. Can it be, you know, fixed? Can it be? Yes. But at the same time, it is working like it is. And at the end of the day, it's not my justice. It's not my revenge. I mean, I'm not looking for any of that. I'm looking for people being served, public safety being served, and you're not bringing the kids back. And when you can't do anything else, I pay attention to families. You know, when you look at the Gonsalveses dealing with what they think is justice for their lost daughter and the other three that lost their hands, the Koberger and that monster, you know, you listen and pay attention to them. And, you know, when you look at the victim impact statements they gave, those are profound. And the only thing I keep playing forward on this one is what will the, you know, say that she comes back and is convicted, whether this time or at retrial is the next one. And the family gets up there to give victim impact statements. They're going to be saying, please, please put her in a psych ward. I mean, that's all they want. That's all anyone wants. I just don't understand why people aren't listening.
I don't know. I don't know exactly why, you know, I don't know. I've been surprised by this entire case, quite honestly.
It is. It's a shocking one.
The amount of vitriol, the amount of just directions and roads that everyone has been going down on this case, where we go all the way to the Patrick Rhodes to everything. It's really just been kind of shocking, all the directions that it has taken us down. We're now at about 12 o'clock Central Time. We're about an hour and a half now since the judge gave Reddington about an hour to go and get that.
Okay, as you're doing filed. That, so the Jerry, put her in a posh facility. All right, Jerry, so let's explore that. You say posh facility, so you think it's a posh facility. Did you do the research on where she actually is right now and where she'd be housed? No, you didn't, because if you look it up, it's not a posh facility. So it's when people make a statement that is completely pulled out of your ass, do some research before you put it out there, because that is not the way it works. And if you think it's so, here's what you do. Before you open the mouth, open the brain and say to yourself, all right, I think she's going to be staying in a posh facility. Let me take a look at what that is. Let me actually do like 5 seconds. Here what you do. Just put in the Google machine where she housed right now. And you're going to hear, it's like Coffendeffer said this the other day. Oh, the system of care that she'd get if she's put in a Gen Pop, that she'd get the psychiatric care that they have because Massachusetts is really good. So you know, said, well, Jen, you made a fair point before I opened my mouth. Let me research this for the second time because I already did it. And she is full of shit because... They are, that facility that they have is understaffed, undermanned, and is underfunded. So she, so your posh facility, what do you think it is? That is, it, seriously, when you say posh facility, define exactly what that means. You think she's there having cookies and milk and tea all day long with all
yoga,
these other
goat yoga,
really sane people that I, yeah. You are, it's just, the reality check is so far askew. And I'm not piling on you. It's typically what people do on this is they come up with a wild-ass conjecture called a WAG, wild-ass guess, and they throw it out to the ethernet, and then people grab onto that and say, yeah, that's why we don't want her to be found not criminally responsible because she's going to be in a posh facility. No, really? You're full of shit.
Well, there's so much of it. I heard this, and it's like the first when I hear that, I'm like, oh, God. Like, where did
sourcing.
You hear it from? I don't
Tell
know. Like, where is this from? Where are you getting? And I don't know. I've been kind of amazed by talking with various folks about this case. A lot of people seemingly very invested, but having very little in terms of facts in their toolbox when talking about it. I mean, it's a great case to talk about in terms of trying to understand and for a thought exercise. But you can only, you know, you only play the game if you got the parts. You know, you don't go to bring out the Monopoly board and go, well, we got no pieces and no money. Yeah. You know, I mean, well, you can't really play the game then. That's not going to work out. Well,
and now comparing it to Gypsy Rose, yeah, that's a real close comparison. That's really good. Yeah,
exactly, and the comparisons, too, have been really kind of wild.
That's a good one, yeah.
That have shown up. The only
I love you too, Miss Smaldo.
The only comparison... That I mean, it's the comparison I made early on, I'm gonna share this in case folks have not seen it. Here, I think this is a fairly accurate comparison to what we've seen.
Massachusetts, where history still comes alive. Looking for a place where the authorities don't let science get in the way of a good story? You'll feel right at home. Since 1692. Massachusetts has been the nation's leader in skipping the facts and going straight to the verdict. 13 medications in 4 months? A psychiatric hospital stay? A journal full of cries for help? Doesn't matter. If we can't understand it, you must have planned it. It's not a bug. It's a tradition.
My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather helped rid Salem of its witches. Every single day, I carry on that fight. Back then, we called them witches. Now we just call them Lindsay Clancy. Either way, we get the job done.
And while you're here, meet the locals. Our online community is home to some of the most dedicated investigators in the country. They don't need medical records. They don't need a degree. They watched a 45-second video, and they just know. The husband? Suspicious? Was he at CVS? Sure. Did he call 911 screaming? Technically. But does that feel right? Here in Massachusetts, we don't let details get in the way of a perfectly good theory. You'll find people who've already solved a case the actual jury hasn't finished hearing yet. That's not arrogance. That's efficiency. And really, why would you waste time understanding postpartum psychosis when you could just decide she's evil, and get on with your day. Massachusetts, where we've been wrong about women for over 300 years and never been more confident. Visit soon. Stay as long as you like. Just don't get sick. Around here, a breakdown and a broomstick are still the same thing.
Good to put out tourism pieces right before the Labor Day holiday weekend.
You know, I was thinking about, as you're playing that again, So here's something that Jen brought up the other day. I thought I gave a lot of thought to a lot of other states that don't have, there's like four, I think, that don't actually have the defense that you can use for criminally insane or not guilty by reason of insanity slash criminally culpable. What they do is they got rid of that defense, and what they use is they use all these things and these facts and data as presented during this case as mitigation for where you're going to serve your term. I'd be fine with that too. Is again, I'm focused on the outcome. I don't care how you get there. I mean, all I do, because I think part of this is also the mental health system that failed her, that got us to this point, obviously, you know, so, but that part needs to be fixed. And I think that's what this is good education for. But however she gets into that facility so she can be treated, so we can learn from this, so we cannot let this happen again, that's fine with me too. Because again, if this happened in one of those other states, we wouldn't be having this conversation, which yeah. I know everyone says this is not, you know, the mental health system is not on trial. But it's certainly the cause of it.
I just want to let you guys know that they're giving Reddington a little bit more time, and I think they're going to take the lunch break and all that and then come back. So just so you're aware.
Okay, so he's got some more time, so this is probably not going to be wrapping up anytime immediately soon. Okay, all right. So, I mean, I wonder. I mean, look, at the end of the day, this woman's future on the line. I thought it was kind of interesting earlier where it was said, you want them to stay into the weekend or come back? It's like, well, we are talking about the future existence of a human being.
That's what I was thinking, Tony, because I think the judge said, you want them to come back tomorrow?
And He stopped himself.
And I think Reddington kind of was about ready to go after him on that.
And I'm trying to figure out why Jerry wants her to live in my guest room, all because I'm standing on the fact that she needs help behind bars, and all of a sudden she's putting it in, so you should stay in my guest room. What? It's like the comment, I just... Why?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Who knows? But I mean, if there's grounds to figure this out and wrap this up, yes, as inconvenient as it might be to run this into the weekend, to run this into Tuesday, it would probably be more beneficial than another 2-3 year ramp up to another trial, and all of the time and all of the effort and all of the money and all the emotional, all of that energy is being spent. If it's going to intrude a little bit into the weekend, okay.
Here's what I'm curious. I wish we had Bob on the ask, and I don't know this off the top of my head. I'm wondering that during this time that Reddington got by asking for this stay, Can that one jury flip his mind during that time period, and they come back unanimous from it? I don't know. I'd just be curious whether that's a done deal that they came back that they're deadlocked, or whether this extra time might give them time to. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I don't know that they're technically deliberating at this moment, but they're somewhere. You know, they're somewhere.
They haven't been released.
Are they using that time to deliberate? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
We will definitely be getting answers later in the day. If there is a verdict, we'll bring it to you here. If not, well, you know, then we obviously continue to follow this to wherever it may lead. But for right now, I think we're going to wrap up the coverage. Some fascinating conversations throughout the day going to be dropping with Eric Faddis and others. So be sure to check that out. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you for being here and giving us your insight, your masterclass. It's available. Tell us about that.
Yeah. If you want more behavioral assessment stuff and learn how to become the person that people trust, check out Masterclass. Go to masterclass.com/Robin Dreek. And thanks very much.
All right. Check it out. We'll keep watching. Until next time, for Robin and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Peace.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
at the center of this tragedy is a mother who was desperately crying for help while being prescribed an ever-shifting, chaotic cocktail of medications. This trial pulled back the curtain on postpartum health care, the system that seems to be blind in many ways to acute psychosis and the catastrophes that can take place when things are not monitored appropriately. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, host of Defense Diaries, and Robin Dreek, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. What is next? That is the big question everybody is asking. As of this morning, we're recording this on Tuesday morning after the long holiday weekend. I know last we heard on Friday, Red was going to be filing some things this week. Bob, where do we sit on the train track of Lindsey Clancy going forward right now?
It's so hard to know. It's so hard to know. You know, I mean, it really depends on what the DA elects to do here. Mm-hmm. Right, like because when they both walk out of the courtroom that day, emotions are high, and I'm talking about, you know, both the DA and Reddington, and then when they gave their you know, heated comments, both of them were kind of on fire. You know, Red was upset, and so was the DA. You know, I mean, they were both adamant about what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
When cooler heads start to prevail and you've got some time for this to kind of settle in, you know, because walking out of that courtroom that day, you know, having done this for many years, there's a lot going on with you.
No one made a definitive statement of, you know, we're going to be retrying this. The DA didn't, you know, Reddington, you know, alluded, we're ready. You know, we're ready to go as soon as you are.
On Good Morning America this morning, too, he said that, you know, they're open to anything that they come back with.
So, I mean, he seems he's up and ready to go. But there's a lot of potential paths here forward. Massachusetts, the rule basically, from what we understand, first degree, it has to be a jury trial. So the idea of a bench trial coming in, from what we understand, would have to be a lesser charge, second degree, manslaughter, things of that nature on the table for a bench trial to take place without a jury. Is that really where we sit? Either they lesser the charge, and then we go to a bench trial, possibly, or what other options? What are the possible scenarios here in this hellish choose-your-own adventure book?
Well, I mean, essentially, they could go retry in the same indictments.
Yeah.
All right. Assuming that double jeopardy is not a barrier, and and that's going to be something that potentially, depending on what happens with the DA's office, what Cruz decides to do. I think if they come out relatively quickly and say that we're retrying, or you're going to see this thing go up the chain in terms of getting up to probably the SJC at some point, as we saw in the Karen Reed case, where, you know, they're basically saying, because Reddington asked the judge towards the end to basically poll the jury.
Yeah.
Which did not happen.
Why? Why did that? I mean, this just seems like cross your T, dot your I. This happened in Karen Reed, too. I mean, why not just do it? What do you got to lose?
Right. And what didn't happen is the lawyers did not ask the judge to do it in Reed. Here he did. And that was a sticking point in Reed when they appealed it up to I think it went up to the SJC. They appealed it to the SJC because there is that language that says the judge, at the judge's discretion, can ask the jurors if they were hung on everything, or say, all right, well, we were good on first degree. We decided that we weren't going to go first degree, but we were good on, you know, the manslaughter. Where we were kind of hung on was going to be the second degree, or the manslaughter, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, just get the answer.
But eliminate those things. If they could have said, all of us agreed back there, all 12 of us agreed that we weren't going to convict on first degree. So that would then bar that. Double jeopardy would attach to that, theoretically. And they wouldn't be able to try, because there was... It was uttered in open court. That's the thing that needs to happen. It doesn't matter what they say back in the jury room. The thing that has to be said is it has to be said in the courtroom. It's got to be on the record. Yes, we were all in agreement that first degree was going to be not guilty on that. Though we were going to go, they were going to acquit on the first degree, and so that and that changes everything, because at that point, that brings all right. Well, then Cruz is going to say, all right, well, then we're going to go on second degree, and that's it. But second degree, you can do a bench, and Reddington has said it, and you know he would think about it. If it's going to be Sullivan again, but Sullivan, I think he's like on the verge of forced retirement. Like I think that he's run his course on the bench. So depending on how long this thing takes to get to trial, and there were some murmurs about, you know, the fall. You know, I mean, like Reddington was like, I want a jury impaneled next Monday.
I mean, like in the fall, we're kind of starting fall. Like right now, we're starting fall.
Right.
So what? I mean, I was shocked by that idea. Like, that would be amazing if we could get it up. Does it ever happen that quick, Bob? Have you ever seen it? Really? Yeah. So you've seen a hung jury happen and then boom, they're up and running because everybody's already prepared, basically. They got their stuff ready to go. So let's just come back to the room and play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're the Commonwealth, you're retrying the case differently, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like you're basically taking the approach that they took in the closing as opposed to what they did in the opening.
Yeah.
Because by the time we got to the closing, they had changed their tune. They had decided, okay, we're abandoning this suicide attempt was a ruse. We're admitting that it was a serious attempt. And we're also acknowledging that she had a mental illness or defect. We're just saying it wasn't the type that wouldn't allow her to know right from wrong and to conform her conduct to the requirements of the law. Like that's all we're saying. So they would try it differently, you know? So, which is always, in my estimation, an advantage to the Commonwealth.
Sure.
That doesn't mean that Reddington wouldn't tweak some of his case as well. You know, but in theory, it's basically the same. They have the framework of how they should try the case. And I'm talking about the Commonwealth. And you know, Red would make his tweaks. Like, you have to worry, if you're Reddington, you have to worry about Resnick. You know, he's pretty old.
Yeah.
You know? And he was not feeling well. He was going through some medical issues where he couldn't fly.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so that's why he and you need Resnick. You need that guy. Resnick is really the key to the defense in terms of when you have the Commonwealth's experts all kind of bending the knee to Resnick and saying, yeah, he's the authority on, you know, filicide and on also in terms of malingering as to hallucinations. And, you know, like that's the guy, you know, when you have their experts admitting that and that we've relied on things that he said, you know, that gives a lot of weight to Resnick and basically builds, in my estimation, reasonable doubt into the case, because you could be saying, well, all right, their experts are saying that this guy is the shit. Okay. And this guy is the shit in terms of that particular area. So he's reasonable. Like it's a plausible thing that he's saying that she was psychotic. However, we also find what the Commonwealth's witnesses were saying was reasonable and plausible as well. Well, I'm sorry, but that's reasonable doubt. When you have two different situations which are plausible, that is not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
That's literally the definition of it. So they'd have to tinker with it. I mean, they could also decide to retry her on, you know, just the second degree or manslaughter, abandoning the first degree theories that have that premeditation and the or extreme atrocity or cruelty.
Oh.
You know, because I the explanation the state gave of atrocities was not what atrocities are, like under the statute. Like it was complete. Hers was just like, oh, this was a mother doing this. The kids were sitting there in this nightmare watching the person who's supposed to love them most kill them. That's an atrocity. That's not how the law reads in terms of, you know, falling under the category of extreme atrocity, which we'd need in order to get to, you know, that first degree. And then the other thing they could do, obviously, is a negotiated resolution. And this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I was having a pretty lengthy conversation with another person that I was doing a live with yesterday, and we were getting into this, the possibilities with a negotiated resolution, because you've got to look at this like this, all right? You see the split in society. There are people that are adamant that, you know, Lindsey Clancy is a fucking monster and she needs to go down. I don't give a shit. Everybody that's supporting her is crazy. Like, what is it? Like, are we living in a crazy world? And then you've got the people that are not mental illness deniers. like myself and you guys.
Yes,
like,
I mean, it's essentially kind of what it is. It's mental illness denial is
that,
what,
that is right. what it is.
It I mean, really it, is.
There's no yeah. other way about it. Like, you know, when I read comments from people like, oh, you know, the mental health, the mental illness aspect was a, it was just a, like a narrative that, the, yeah. that yeah. the defense was, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, these people literally, like, mental illness is not a narrative. Like
it's a disease.
But that shows what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there's people completely. In this country that actually think that it's a narrative.
Yeah.
As opposed to realizing that this shit is as real as it gets, and that there's people, millions of people all over the world that are suffering on a daily basis and suffering massively from whatever mental illness that they're going through, and it's real. And you know, it's just, it's such a difficult case, you know, because it's the thing that I keep saying. I don't know that they'll ever be able to impanel 12 people that are going to agree on it ever. And this thing, I mean, 11 to 1 for NG.
I mean, what kind of appetite does the state of I know that Massachusetts likes to retry their shit, even when they double down, they dig in like a petulant, you know, old uncle or something that's arguing their opinion despite the rest of the family saying, bye-bye, you can sit here by the campfire by yourself. We're going inside. This is getting weird. That's Massachusetts. But are they going to do it again? Or do they have an appetite for that? Are they going to say, you know, this kind of makes us look stupid. Maybe we should do this off here in the quiet of a settled agreement in a judge's chamber between the attorneys and send Lindsey off to be locked away in a mental institution, which he's been asking for the whole time. We'll just end up doing what she originally asked for and pretend it was our idea at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would pose this question to D.A. Cruz if I were Reddington. I would say, look, you know, the prosecution offices around this country are always championing the fact that they're there representing the people, but really they're representing the victims. Mm-hmm. And Cruz was adamant about that. We're representing the victims here. We're representing, you know, Cora, Dawson, and Callan. That's who we're here for. And they need justice. The problem here is, what does justice look like? Because for the folks that are eye for an eye, well, justice means if they had the death penalty available, which they do not in mass, that she should be fried. In a situation where it's life without the possibility, then that's what she gets. And I don't care about anything else. For those folks, that's what justice looks like. For folks like myself and folks like the family of the victims, which
the people who actually matter.
Weird. The people that were testifying on behalf of Lindsey Clancy, I don't think that they think justice looks the same thing, the same way that Cruz thinks it might look.
Yeah.
And you know how I win that argument? Look who they testified for.
Yeah.
That tells 100%. You where the family is on this thing. The family who knew her best, who knows her best, who lived with her, who were there. For the people that are ignoring those people that are screaming out there, that's how you lose every argument that you were going to have with me, because I will always have those folks to point to and say, they're the ones that this matters most to, not you. You got no stake in this. In terms of, we have a stake in terms of a society, the people on the other side of this, our stake is, you know what? Let's change the healthcare system. Let's start acknowledging that women's mental health and postpartum is real, and let's do something about it. Let's make sure that this never happens again to another child and or mother that ends her own life because she's going through it just because we don't fucking get it. Because we don't get it is not the answer. If you're not willing to listen and understand what's real and move forward on that, no matter how hard it is, if that means that you have to kind of swallow this incredibly bitter pill, that the fact that this woman did this to these three kids who she loved more than anything on the planet, and you have to swallow that in order to move forward to make sure it never happens again, well, then that's what we have to do, period.
Or they'll just keep sailing their ship off the flat earth.
And Bob, so here's my question about if they work a plea deal or even if they go and try it again on a lesser charge, which makes it easier for a jury to be more unanimous on this. And so say, and even in this case, say that she was convicted on manslaughter. And but then she, I mean, is there any way, because I don't think so, that the judge then can impose going back to Tewksbury? Because that's ultimately what the family wants and what the people at Stand With Lindsay want. They're not looking for release. They're looking for mental health help where she's been staying for 3 years in Tewksbury. And so is there any way that they negotiate for the lesser charge in a plea deal, but then she goes also to Tewksbury, or does she go back to general population? Because I think that's part of the issue that we're all having with it also, is that where's the sentence going to be carried out?
Well, I mean, it depends. If she's found guilty, she goes to, theoretically, she goes to prison. Now, the problem is going to be if they try her again.
Right.
I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Can they make the plea deal for the Tewksbury there? Okay, they can.
Yeah, absolutely. So the obviously landing spot for a negotiated plea, and this is where it got interesting in the conversation I was having yesterday. I think there exists a world in which they could say, all right, we're willing to concede the point. We're willing to agree that she pleads not guilty, lack of criminal responsibility, but we want to try to do a set time frame. Okay, now, and we're going to say 5 years. All right, we're going to say that she's going to be committed in there for at least 5 years. If she continues not to be better, if she doesn't get better, if she's still, you know, a danger to herself or others, then she stays in. And if she never gets right, she's in there forever. I mean, which is a possibility. You know, however, in the event that she does get made whole, because like there's two parts of it. And I know this from speaking to a woman named Lisa Tremaine in New Jersey, who has this incredible, it's the only one in the country. And I keep screaming from the rooftops about this woman and this center that she has. And it's specifically for postpartum issues where mothers are having it. They can come in, they can fully disclose everything that's going on without fear of repercussion. And they treat them until they're better. And every single mother that comes in there walks out well. And the kids are alive. It's like the place is like it's a miracle. The place is a miracle. They need to have them in every... If this place existed, or if Lindsay was aware of it, if she had Googled and found it, and she's like, Pat, I need to go to this place in Jersey. These people are going to help me. I guarantee you the kids are still here. I guarantee it. This this woman has been fighting and fighting and fighting. They have helped thousands of women. Thousands of women, and they allow the women to bring the babies with them so they're not separated, right. And they're treated. They have trained doctors in there. They're allowed to, because the bigger problem here is the underreporting that's happening for women because they're afraid of the repercussions if I report.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with government agencies. Government agencies take your kids away. You'll get committed. You'll lose your licensing. Like if she's a nurse, like everything she had, what had to have been going through her brain as this is going on for 4 months is like, I don't know how much I can tell. And that's not right. Just Lindsay Clancy. That's every single woman that goes through this shit.
Yeah.
And it's because of the stigma. It's like, you know, if you're a woman that's suffering and you're going online, please get offline. Because when you see the ignorance that exists out there about people just denying that this shit is real, that keeps this exactly where it is, hidden in the dark, not allowing women to come forward with how they're absolutely feeling and being completely honest with it. Could you imagine a world in which Lindsay could have said, this is everything I'm going through, and like in great detail?
Well, I think we'd be in a very, very different place right now if that had actually existed. Unfortunately, that is not where we are, and there seems to be half of the population very much happy with the way our system works, saying, we don't need that. What's that going to help? A lot. It would help a lot. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.